Psalm chapter 89. Psalm chapter 89, we're going to talk about Old Faithful this morning. Old Faithful. So Psalm 89, verses 1 through 18 to start. Psalm chapter 89, starting in verse number 1. I sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I've sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stealest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Father, we do thank you for your goodness this morning, and thank you, Father, again for the gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Thank you, Father, for the relationship that we have with you and the fact that we do experience your goodness every morning. Even today, Lord, as we woke up, we experienced the goodness of God as you gave us breath to breathe. You gave us the will to get out of bed. You gave us the desire to be in the Lord's house. And Father, we eagerly sit before you, wanting you to speak to our hearts, wanting you to guide us according to your will. Father, as we talk about Old Faithful, I pray, Father, that our hearts would be stirred. I pray our minds would be focused. I pray, Lord, that you would have your way with us, that we would be the living sacrifice that say, Lord, here am I. Speak to my heart. Use me according to your will. Help me to grow in my faith and help Jesus Christ to be exalted and you glorified. Father, I ask that you speak to the hearts of the children as well. Lord, give them understanding of the Bible lessons that are being taught today. May the Word of God take root in their heart to bring forth, obviously, Lord, their knowledge and, Father, their understanding of Jesus Christ and what a great friend and best friend he can be for them and the gift that he bears for them. Father, I ask that all of us would walk away knowing we've spent time in your presence with God's people, knowing we've been spoken to, we've heard your voice as you speak to us, and we thank you, that Father, that we do know your voice because we are your children. Help us, Lord, to respond to your voice. Help us to continue to walk by faith in this world, knowing that you're guiding us because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Father, though we fall, yet we'll never be cast down. You always lift us up, and we thank you for it. Father, please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I don't know how many people in here have ever been to Yellowstone National Park, but I remember being a little boy, and most of my memory comes from seeing pictures in times past, but I do remember walking up to this one thing that was amazing. You didn't want to get too close to it before it erupted, because what would erupt out of the ground would be water and steam, steam that had been measured to be 350 degrees, the water over 200 degrees. I mean, you just would get burned. But this geyser that many people would come around the world to see, just this phenomenon that was always faithful to erupt, is called Old Faithful. And if you've ever been to Yellowstone National Park or heard about it, I mean, there's many other geysers that are there in the area, but this one is famous, and it was given the title Old Faithful. But it was once called Eternity's Timepiece before it took on the name Old Faithful. And that was in 1870 when it was discovered and it was named, but it had been there many decades before that, spewing its eruption of water and steam. But yet, the interesting thing is that every 60 to 110 minutes, this Old Faithful geyser erupts. And people, again, from all walks of life, from all around the world, will sit and wait. I was watching, again, this documentary on it yesterday, trying to get all the information I could. But thinking about, they actually have someone who sits there and times it, and they try to predict the next eruption. And they always get within a couple minutes. No one has ever gotten it right on the money or right on the dime, but they're pretty close to when it's going to erupt. And when it does, I mean, the water shoots up at an average of 140 feet high. The highest recorded eruption has been 180 feet. I mean, just this geyser is so faithful just to continue day after day for 20 times a day, just erupting and just spewing out the water. And people just, again, like I said, all the way, they come to watch it. And then when they watch it, it's done. It's over for another hour, and they go about their business. The interesting thing that I heard, though, was that when you're at the park and you're in the vicinity of Old Faithful, nothing is scheduled according to your watch. Everything is scheduled around the eruption of Old Faithful. So if you want to eat lunch, you wait until Old Faithful erupts, and then you know you have about an hour, at least an hour, maybe longer, to get some other things done. And what we learn from this phenomenon that God has allowed in our country is that God is always faithful. Every day He's faithful to come into our life and to provide for us, to protect us, to guide us, to teach us. God's always faithful. He's always there. And you think about this Old Faithful, there's really nothing glamorous about it. Just watching some water spew out of the ground, watching some steam and seeing how high it goes. And then when it's over, it's over. But you know, to the average person, what's glamorous about God? The fact that He's faithful every day. Again, every single person that woke up this morning woke up because God allowed them to wake up. You and I were allowed by God to wake up this morning. And God is very faithful in our life and will continue to be faithful until the day we see Him face to face. Hudson Taylor once said, "A little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a great thing." This Old Faithful geyser has been erupting for centuries, long before man had even discovered it. It's been erupting. It's been doing what it's been designed to do after day, day in, day out, over and over again. It just erupts. And people come all around the world to see it. But it's a wonderful thing that we have a God who is faithful every day. Not just 20 times a day, but every single moment of our day, every single second of our day, God is faithful in my life, in your life. Jeremiah said in Lamentations, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There are many that are faithful to their families and faithful to their children and faithful to their jobs. We're faithful to a lot of things in our life. But no faithfulness compares to the faithfulness of our God. And what a blessing it is to know that we do have a God who is faithful time and time again, and He can be depended upon, and He can be believed and relied upon. We have somebody who is faithful. And you and I, we've had people in our lives that seem to be faithful, but then let us down at some point. But yet God has never let a single person down. He's never let you down in your life or my life. And there's four things I want us to be reminded of this morning, and only four. There are many other things that God is faithful in. But I want to remind us first off that God is always faithful to save. He's always faithful to save, not just in salvation, but also saving us in times of trouble. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, as Paul writes to a young man to encourage him in his faith and in the ministry God called him into, Paul says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And Paul would say that he was the chiefest of sinners, not worthy to be an apostle, not worthy to be used of the Lord. But it is a faithful saying that Jesus Christ purposely came into the world to save sinners. That's always been his purpose, and it's never changed. You realize that even from the very moment of time in the Garden of Eden, God's desire was that man would be with him and man would fellowship, but man broke that fellowship by sinning against God. But yet God already had a way of salvation. He already had a plan. It wasn't an afterthought. Jesus Christ came into the world. He was born to die. Some believe and erroneously even teach that on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus' glory was shown, and James, Peter, and John, they saw Jesus in all his glory and saw him talking with Moses and Elijah, there are some that teach falsely that at that moment Jesus had to change his plans, and he came up with the plan to die on the cross of Calvary because the Israelites rejected him. God's plan from the very beginning was to die for the sins of the world. And he continues to seek and to save such that need to be saved and saved from their sins. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He continues to call sinners to repentance. He continues to seek after the lost. And that should be our desire as God's people as well, that others would come to know Jesus Christ as we know him, that others would come to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, that they would have their sins washed away, that their guilty conscience would be eased by knowing that there's a gift that God wants to give to them. Jesus said in Luke 19, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's been God's plan all along. It's never changed. The world has changed since the Garden of Eden. The world has changed just in the last 2 years. But God's plan has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not only does he want to save, but he wants to change. He has predestined every single person that will come to put Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and put their faith in him. He's predestined us to be conformed into his image. But also in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad that God's plan of salvation hasn't changed? It's the same. Yesterday, today, it's never going to change. And that's a wonderful thing, because you know what? Just as they were 500 years ago, today people are still looking for hope. They're still looking for answers. Why am I here? And unfortunately, many will try to take their life because they're not seemingly finding the answer. And there is a thief that has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus Christ came to give life and to give it more abundantly. We have a God who is faithful to save. He's not willing that any should perish. He's always working in the hearts of people. He's always using us to even show people a hope that they can have. The Philippian jailer in the days of Paul and Silas came springing in the jail cell and saying, what must I do to be saved? He obviously was looking for something. He contemplated suicide, but yet he heard Paul's voice say, do thyself no harm. But more than Paul's voice in his ears, he heard God's voice in his heart. And that's why he came springing in. What must I do to be saved? You have something I want. You have some peace and joy and hope in your life because I've heard you singing. I've heard you praying. I've heard you. I've seen you. Your backs are bleeding. You're in the prison cell. You have what I want, because even in the darkest hour of night, you and I have joy in our heart that no man can take from us. God is still faithful to save, because he still wants to change a life. He still wants to bring hope and joy into a lost person's life, to let them know how valued they are, to let them know how loved they are. And never forget, you truly are valued. You truly are loved by our Lord and Savior. But he's faithful. He's more faithful than old faithful geyser. He's more faithful than anything in this world, because he is a forgiving God. Look at 1 John chapter 1 with me, because the second thing I want us to be reminded of is that God is faithful. God is faithful with his children. He's faithful to come to us, to reconcile a relationship. And I'll try not to continue talking about Peter. We're going through Peter in Sunday school, but just we're at the moment in Peter's life where Peter thought everything was lost in his life. He thought the only thing he had left to do, because he had denied the Lord three times, he's already seen the risen Savior twice, yet he feels like there's nothing else he can do for the Lord. So he tries going back to his old occupation, his old lifestyle. He fishes all night and catches nothing. Because that's exactly where the Lord found him the first day that the Lord came to him, fishing all night, having caught nothing. But the Lord comes to Peter to let Peter know that he has grace with the Lord, to let Peter know that he's forgiven. And when you look at that instance in Peter's life, the Lord never brings up to Peter that you denied me three times. He simply says, do you love me? Because that's conviction enough. When the Lord speaks to your heart, do you love me? And you know you did something wrong? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. And he asked him three times, and he was convicted on the third time and was grieved that the Lord asked him. But the Lord was trying to help Peter understand, I still love you. I still want you to follow me, because there's not a single child of his that he's going to push away and say, okay, you can no longer be a child of mine. You can no longer be a disciple. No, he draws us unto him so we know that we are loved and we're accepted. He doesn't condone the wrong things that we do, but he wants us to know that in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, maybe nobody in here has ever denied the Lord like Peter did. I don't know him. And then start cussing and cursing to prove you don't know the Lord. But you know what else is sin? Unbelief. Doubt. Not believing that God can do something for you. Oh, I know that God can, I just don't know if he will. No, that's not faith. Faith is not knowing he can, but knowing that he will, because you're a child of his. I mean, the list of sin is too long to try to name it all. That's why I just let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. There might be something in your life that's sin, and it might just be unbelief. It might be the fact that you know that God can forgive, you just don't know if he'll forgive you. But he promises if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is a faithful God who is faithful to forgive his child when we come to him in true repentance and a true heart desiring to seek the Lord. But you know what? There are times just in Peter's life where we feel like we can't even go to the Lord. There were times in my life where I felt like I couldn't go to my parents after I disobeyed them. Oh, I don't know, because I'm going to get in trouble and they'll be mad at me and I've disappointed them. But I've never had my mom or dad say, you're no longer my son. I'd get in trouble, but I always knew they loved me. I always knew I could still, you know, if I needed something, go to them. You know, our Heavenly Father is a lot better than a human father, because our Heavenly Father knows how to make our hearts feel accepted. He knows how to calm the nerves. He knows how to calm the soul and to give us the rest we need and to truly let us know that we are forgiven. And Peter was forgiven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes to the church of Corinth and says, and such were some of you. You know what? Go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because before this verse, he lists off some things that we were before Jesus came into our life. And our enemy, our adversary, loves to hold over our heads our past life. Yes, we do have some things in our life that we wish we hadn't have done, wish we hadn't have said, places we wish we hadn't have gone to. Lord, if I could go back and relive my life, I would, with your help, do it all over again and do it right, not making the wrong decisions and the wrong choices. Well, that's the beauty of salvation. Because not a single person can relive their life and do it perfectly. The beauty of salvation is that we find grace and forgiveness with God, who knows our past life. And Paul, in his letters, one of his letters even mentions his past life, the things he did and how he persecuted the church and murdered Christians, and says, but by the grace of God, I am who I am. I'm saved. I'm a child of God on my way to heaven. God even wants to use me to tell other people about him. And yet I was trying to keep people from hearing about Jesus Christ. And that's the power of God to save a life and the power of God to forgive a person. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you look at, look at verse number 9 if you would. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We've been forgiven, we've been cleansed, we've been justified. We're no longer to live in our past life and in the past sins of our life. But again, the devil wants to, and sometimes he'll use people to bring up your past. Well, I remember when you... Yeah, unfortunately, you know, people will remember, but God doesn't. God takes away our iniquity as far as the east is from the west. He forgives us, covers it under the blood of Jesus Christ. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Again, God's faithful to forgive because he knows that we cannot be that faithful in not sinning against him. I may not do the things I used to do before salvation, but I'll be honest, there's times in my life I still get mad. I still get mad at people. I still get upset at people. I still get upset in situations. I still complain at different times. And I have to ask the Lord to forgive me that, Lord, you've been good. Doesn't matter what happens. I need to learn to be content with where I'm at, what's happening. Because I know that if you're allowing it, there must be something you want me to learn. There's some growth of faith I need to have. There's something I need to realize that, you know what, I don't have a handle on, and I need to rely upon the Lord. Now, I know it's probably not a common thing for a pastor to always tell his faults and stuff, but just being real, I'm human. I know some pastors want to pretend like they're perfect, and I don't want to because I know myself. I know that I can get pretty mad at times. And you know what? The devil wants us to, because the devil wants us to lose our testimony in front of those that we're trying to win to the Lord, that we're trying to show that Jesus is our answer and our hope for life. And we have an adversary who fights against that. But again, I'm thankful that we have a God who's faithful when we're not. And we have to be honest with ourselves that, you know what, I'm not as faithful as I should be, but I sure do want to be. I want to be more faithful to the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. Because God is always faithful, even when his people are not. Again, that's the beauty of our relationship with the Lord. He already knows the mistakes that we will make, and yet he still walks with us and wants to help us not make those mistakes and help us to be faithful to him, help us to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the lust of the flesh is to satisfy itself, to protect itself, to promote itself. But God is faithful even when we're not. In 2 Timothy, you look at chapter 2, and verse number 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13, he says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. You know, there are some people that just will not believe that there is a God in heaven. There are some people that just will not believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins. It doesn't matter what people believe. It doesn't change the truth that God is. And that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That God is faithful to His people. That's why we're told not to compare ourselves among ourselves. Don't look at someone else's life and think, well, you know, some people will use the death of a loved one to cause themselves not to follow the Lord. Well, if God was who He was, then why did He let my mom die when I was praying for her to live? The only thing I always have to remind myself that if that person that is dying is a child of God, the Bible says the death of His saints are precious in His eyes. He'd rather have that child of God with Him than still suffering in this world. But again, the devil still wants to use what we think God hasn't answered against us. God's faithful in all He does. Again, as Paul writes to young Timothy, he says, if we believe not, yet He, God, abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Faithfulness is one of God's characters. It's who He is. We know He's truth. He cannot lie. He's not a man that He should lie. And I'm glad that we don't follow a God that can lie. We can believe every single word that He's given us. But I'm glad that I can follow Him and know He's faithful to lead me. If you're like me, there's been times in your life, again, where you've put a lot of stock in somebody and thought, you know what, they'll never do me wrong. They will love me. They'll always be there for me. And then what happens? You get stabbed in the back, or like Judas Iscariot, you get that wicked kiss on the cheek, pretending to be a friend like he did to Jesus, and yet he was denying Jesus. He brought a mob to take Jesus. But yet we have a God who is faithful, a God who's always there for us, a God who will always be there to pick us up when we fall down. Again, God puts wonderful people in our lives. I don't want to, you know, put everybody down. I mean, we do have, you know, every now and again you have someone do you wrong, but you have those that are faithful to you, who love you, and you know you can count on them as best as you can another person. But we should never forget we have a God who is 1,000 times faithful. So faithful that while you and I are sleeping in the night, He keeps your heart beating. And there's some times where you even have a dream where He encourages you in your dream. There's been times in my life where, there was a time in my life where I had a struggle with fear. And I always had this reoccurring dream of falling into crocodiles. And just, I mean, this dream just always would shake me up, and I just, you know. But I remember one time where I truly had this moment in my life where I wanted the Lord to take away the fear. And I really sought the Lord for it. And I really poured out my heart to the Lord. I could tell the Lord was working in my life, and I didn't have that spirit of fear in me. And I remember having that same reoccurring dream one night. I mean, it's the same dream. I mean, everything was the same, walking along, and then holes start falling out from underneath me, and there's all these crocodiles under me, and mouths open, and I didn't have any fear in my dream. In fact, the thing I did in my dream I'd never done before is ask the Lord to rebuke the crocodiles. And it was an amazing thing. In my dream, these holes filled back in. There were no more crocodiles. Now, we have a more sure word. We're not to rely upon dreams. But I believe God still speaks to us in dreams. But He's given us a sure word. And the sure word that He gave me was, He's not giving me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He's faithful to always be there for us. He's faithful to help us overcome things in our life that seem to be setting us back and keeping us from moving forward in our walk with Him. So God is always faithful when we're not. In Isaiah 25 and verse 1, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. You want to talk about being faithful. His counsel never changes. It's always faithful and it's always true. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I just can't turn over a new leaf. I just can't change my old habits. No, we can't. But God can. And that's the beauty of our relationship with the Lord. He's faithful because he begun the good work in us, and he will finish that good work. He will continue that good work until we see Jesus Christ face to face. He wants to. You know, as I've talked with many people about this, why doesn't God just the moment you're saved cleanse you from everything? I mean by cleanse, I mean just take away all your struggles to where, you know what? No more desires of smoking, drinking, no more dirty moves. I mean, everything that you struggled with in your life, why is it at the moment somebody, he just doesn't take it all away? Because we'd never learn to cry out to him. We'd never learn to walk with him. We wouldn't even experience the beauty of him transforming us into the image of Christ. Now, believe me, Lord, just change me right now. But you know what? It's faith. We walk by faith. We want him to work in our life. Lord, help me to be a better husband. Help me to be a loving husband. Help me to be a better father. Help me to be a better pastor. Help me, Lord, to truly, as you tell me in your word, do everything heartily as unto the Lord. Don't let me do what I do for the pleasing of man or to be recognized by man. Because everybody in their job wants to be recognized by the one that, you know, gives you the check, because we all would like pay raises and bonuses and things like that. And we like it when that happens. But our motivation for what we do in life, whatever it is, should always be for God to be glorified. I want God to be glorified in the life that he's given me. And he's given me this life, though at times I wish it was a different life, that I didn't have to go through these struggles or health issues or whatever. But you know what? God knew exactly where I would be at this moment in my life, and he wants to show himself faithful in my life. I just have to follow by faith and allow myself to be the living sacrifice. I say, Lord, here am I. I want you to do your work in my life. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You and I were called into a fellowship. There was a moment in your life, in my life, that we heard the calling of God. Wasn't an audible voice, but was a voice that our spirit could hear, because Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. We hear God's voice. And there was a moment in your life you heard God's voice calling to you, and you cried out to him for salvation. But there's probably been times in your life, I know there's been times in my life, where I've quenched that voice and didn't hear that voice any longer. And God allows you to go for a certain time in your life until you get to the end of yourself and realize, you know what? I want to hear the voice of God. I want to feel the presence of the Lord in my life. And we should never, ever get to an age where we think that we have arrived at the point of knowing all there is to know about the Lord. We should never allow any trials or difficulties in life to set us back from wanting more of Jesus Christ. Because Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Always looking unto the finisher, the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, because he was faithful and God is faithful in our life. You and I have been called into this fellowship, and God wants to show himself faithful. Look at Psalm 37, because The fourth thing we look at this morning and think about is the fact that God is faithful to provide. He's faithful to save, give us a gift of salvation, but even to save us in times of trouble. He's faithful to forgive us when we cry out to Him. And just recognize when you mess up. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts your heart that, hey, that wasn't right, we ought to be quick to say, yes, Lord, it wasn't. I knew it wasn't. I purposely chose it. But Lord, it was not right. Always recognize that God is the one that's always right. Again, He gave many in Scripture we read about an opportunity to make things right with Him. He gave Cain an opportunity to not sin against God by killing his brother, Abel. God gave David an opportunity, and David took the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I am the man that committed sin against you. I mean, time and time again, God would just give the opportunities. He lets us make the choice in our life. And God always desires for us to make the choice to follow Him because He's faithful. But when He does move upon our hearts because we're not faithful, we need to recognize it and we need to draw back to the one that is always faithful, who will guide our steps, will continue to work in us, completing His will for our life. When you look at Psalm 37 and verse 25, again, to remind yourself that God's always faithful to provide whatever our need is. He's not just a spiritual God who just provides spiritual needs. He provides everything we need for our life. The psalmist said in verse 25, I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. As David writes those words, he is writing from a life of experience. You know what it's like to have someone try to give you advice that they have no idea what they're talking about? They've not been in your shoes. They've not gone through the things you've gone through, and they want to try to tell you, give you some advice. David, though, he's giving advice. He's letting us know, you know what? I've been through some things in life, and I've never seen myself forsaken or even begging for bread. God has always provided. David was a young man who was on the run for his life, literally being hunted like an animal by King Saul, and yet God would provide for him. God would provide not only food, but companionship. Because you read in the scripture, David finds himself in the cave of Adullam. He is fleeing for his life. And the Bible records that his brothers, family members, hear about where David's at, and they go to him. He ends up with 400 men on his side that will follow him wherever he goes. There's times where God knows we need companionship. We need somebody, whether if your spouse, if you're married, whether it's another close friend that's walking with the Lord. God knows there's times where we need that fellowship. We need that encouragement. But also He knows, there's times where nobody understands, and the only one we can go to is the one who's always faithful. And God is. He's faithful to provide everything we need, where there might be times where we've gone without because we didn't go boldly before the throne of grace and ask for that help in time of need. Because Philippians 4:19 reminds us, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All. I love that word because there's one simple definition for all. That's all it means. All. There are some that have their distorted view of that word because there are some that believe that God didn't die for all people. He only died for some. And even went so far as trying to tell me that, when you see the word all in Scripture, that's, it's not referring to everything or everybody. How else can you define the word all? For God so loved the world, so He didn't really love everybody in the world? Doesn't the world encompass everybody in it? Sometimes you might even lie to yourself that God doesn't really care about what situation you're in. He does. I'm glad that you and I are included in whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world. I'm glad I'm included in that. I'm glad that God's not a respecter of persons. But again, if someone believes that God doesn't mean what he says, then they're not going to be quick to rely upon him. They're not going to be quick to cry out to him. They're not going to be quick to trust what he says in his word. But as for you and me, we can, as the psalmist says in Psalm 46, we can count on God because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, yet we won't be afraid because we know our God is in control. When was the last time you and I worried about the oxygen level in the air that we breathe? When was the last time you stayed up all night worrying about, oh no, what if the oxygen level in the air drops down? Again, I know that there are those that rely upon oxygen tanks. I was on oxygen at one time when I contracted COVID and my oxygen levels plummeted and they had to give me oxygen stuff in the hospital. Listen, I don't worry about the oxygen level in the air. There's things that we just don't worry about. So why do we worry about the other things in life? God is always faithful to provide exactly what you and I need, and nothing in this life should ever trouble our hearts because we know if God be for us, who can be against us? I know greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And who is in me? The Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit resides within every child of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Nothing should trouble us, but we do find ourselves at different times troubled. But when we find ourselves troubled, we should do what the Bible says and cast our cares upon him, for he careth for us. He doesn't want us to be troubled. He doesn't want us to walk around in fear. We have a faithful God. Now, yes, I'm like most people. I want to know the end result. That's why I'm not a big book reader outside the Bible, because if I pick up a book, I go to the back of it to see how it ends to decide whether or not I want to read the book. And if I've already read the end of it, how it ends, then what's the point of reading the rest of it? But that's not life. I would like to go to the end and see, okay, but you know what? By faith, you and I can go to the end of our life and know everything's okay. Because one day I will be standing before my Lord and Savior. One day I will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not because I did everything perfect in life, but I was faithful in just getting up and continue moving forward and walking with him and allowing him to work in my life and to bring me to every point in my life according to his will. Again, for God not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The power of God resides within us to resist the evil, to resist fear, to resist doubt, to resist the things the devil wants us to focus on. Because we focus on the love of God. I've got the love of God in me that reminds me, he hasn't brought me this far to desert me. He's brought me this far so I can look back and see his faithfulness in my life. And by faith, know, well, if he's been faithful up to now, he'll be faithful up to the next point of my life. Because he cannot deny himself. He is faithful. In John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. In Romans 8, verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Again, you and I have the Spirit of God in us that quickens or makes alive our mortal bodies. We can live a life of faith. We can truly deny ourselves, deny what's wrong, and truly follow after Jesus Christ by faith. You know what it's like to not know how something's going to play out, how the end result's going to be, but when you get that end result that's in your favor, you're excited, you're happy, you're like, well, this is awesome. And then you kind of even might even tell yourself, I knew it all along. I knew it was going to work out this way. One of the greatest days of my life was standing on a platform, nervous as can be, sweating, hands all clammy, and just waiting for the back doors to open. And when they opened, the most beautiful woman in the whole world walked through. And my nervousness went away. That was almost 30 years ago. Do you remember the moment you asked Christ to be your Savior? You remember the moment in your life where you were at the crossroads of your life looking for hope, looking for some change, and the Lord Jesus Christ came into your life and it was the most beautiful day of your life? Now again, marriages have their ups and downs, two people learning how to live with each other, learning how to put the other one first, right? That's the Christian life, always learning how to put Christ first, because that's walking by faith. I know he can, but I have to have the mindset and the heart, I know he will. He'll always be faithful to me because he died for me. He's given me new life. He's been faithful up until this moment in my life, and he's the one that I should be focusing on. He's the one that I should be relying upon. He's the one that I should be giving my life to. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul says this to the Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithful in all that he does. He's faithful in keeping this planet on the axis, on the correct tilt, spinning at the right speed, revolving around the sun, and that's not going to change. It's not going to change until he's done. The Bible says this earth will burn up one day because there's a new heaven, a new earth. But you realize what he does in your life and my life, it's not going to change. He's going to perfect his will in our life. Now, you and I can either be faithful in submitting ourselves to him and letting him do his work in our life and abiding by his word and walking by his spirit and following him, or we can choose to kind of resist it at different times. God always gets what he wants. It's just up to us. Do we make it difficult on ourselves? And believe me, I've made things difficult in my life at times, where it's like, man, if I would have just done it this way to begin with, I wouldn't have had to go through all this difficulty. You know what that's like. It's the same in our Christian walk with the Lord. God says, follow me. And you know what? I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor yet begging bread. I've never seen a child of God who has walked with the Lord faithfully say, well, this wasn't worth it. You know what? There's not a single person that gets to heaven and says, well, this wasn't worth it. No one gets to heaven and says, can I go do it again? I want something different. Because you know what? When I graduated high school, I sure didn't go to the teacher and say, can I do it again? I want to go through 12 years of misery again. No. Right? We walk across that stage, get that diploma, and we're like, yes, it's over. But then we realize, wait a minute. I'm done with that school, but now I'm in the school of life. And there are times where I'm like, can I go back to where I don't have bills and taxes? But the Christian life, you'll never get to a point where you think, I was better off back in Egypt. I was better off back in bondage. I was better off. No. Every moment of our life, every day of our life, we look back and think, man, it has been a great journey. It's been difficult at times, but I've been walking with someone who's been faithful from the moment I took my first breath in this life. He's been faithful in my life. Faithful to bring me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And faithful after that to guide my steps and to help me to grow in my Christian walk. To help me to get victory over sin in my life and to truly abound in his love and his grace. We serve a great God. Go ahead and stand if you would. We serve someone who is more faithful than that old faithful geyser. Someone who's more faithful because he sees you and he cares about you individually and wants to help guide your steps every day.